I had considered giving you a test, since this is the fourth sermon of a four-week series about four gifts that show Jesus your love, and see if you could name the gifts. But I'm afraid you don't do well with tests, and after all, school was out yesterday, or actually Friday, so perhaps we won't. But for the sake of review, I will tell you what you should already know, hopefully. We said the first gift that we can give Jesus that shows Him that we really love Him, that we really care, is our obedience. And that that's the first and foremost gift, and everything else begins there. That knowing about Him and knowing who He is isn't enough. We have to obey Him. That knowledge has to lead us somewhere. And the somewhere, the something it leads us to is obedience. Without obedience, our words are vain. Our singing is for naught. Everything else is just empty formality. Obedience is the first. Then we said we wanted to show Jesus our love by fulfilling the Great Commission. That as a church, as individuals, we have a responsibility to ushering in the kingdom of heaven, and this gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, must be preached to all nations, to all people on the globe before the end can come. And last week we talked about a way we can do that individually in showing Jesus our love by giving that gift of our testimony. What has He done for you? Can you express it? Can you verbalize it? Can you articulate it? And will you be willing then to speak it, to say it? So many times we know the words, we have the testimony, but when the appropriate time comes to bear witness, we're silent. And that is not obedience as well. So today we want to finish this series by talking about showing Jesus our love by serving. By serving our neighbors and those in need. And as we talk about this idea of service, I want you to consider just a moment that Christmas is a unique opportunity for you to be an evangelist. So many of us have gotten Christmas so wrong for so long. It is not about Santa. It is not about Rudolph. It is not about grandmother getting run over by a reindeer. Even though we know and we acknowledge that we can't say for certain when Jesus was born, no one knows the date, and we're pretty certain it wasn't in December. It was probably sometime in the spring or sometime in the fall of the year, based on the idea that the shepherds were out in the fields. They didn't do that in the winter. That was what the sheep fold was for in the wintertime. We don't know when He was born, but we celebrate His birth this time of year. And because we celebrate it this time of year, we have a unique opportunity to be evangelists. I mean, everything speaks of it if we just know and we will say so. The Advent wreath, Christmas Eve, we invite you to come here at 5 o'clock, Christmas Eve, bring your family. And we're just going to explain the meaning of every candle in the Advent wreath. They all point to the central candle, Jesus Christ. Every one of us needs hope, love, joy, and peace. Each of those candles. And the way you get hope, love, joy, and peace is through Jesus. That's the only way. You can't buy at the mall. You can't charge it on Visa. You can only get it through the one who has paid the debt already for us, Jesus Christ. This time of year, we can be evangelists. And one of the ways that we can be evangelists is by serving those in need. Because I don't know if you've noticed, people are hurting. There was an article in this week's USA Today on December 14th that says that most Protestant churches are feeling the economic pain. For those of you who don't know, we're a Protestant church. The recession is dipping into church collection plates. A growing number of Protestant congregations have seen their Sunday collections drop this year. Pastors blame high unemployment and a drop-off in giving by members. Now, help me. I think this is a math problem everyone can do. Ready? 10% of zero is? Can't tithe if you're making nothing. A tithe on nothing's nothing. To make ends meet, churches have laid off staff and frozen salaries, put off major capital projects, and cut back on their programs. And at the same time, more of their congregation members and neighbors are asking for help with basic needs like paying the rent and buying groceries, the study found. You didn't need a study to tell you that, did you? Everybody in this room probably knows someone who's having trouble right now making the proverbial ends meet. And they need help with a mortgage payment. They need help with a light bill payment. They need help in some way with something. So what should we be doing? We should be serving. We should be helping. And sometimes we give their kids toys to play with, and we forget that mom and dad need help providing a roof for the kids to play under. So often, if someone who has a need can make it to Thanksgiving, between Thanksgiving and Christmas, we're generous, and they can make it okay for that 1 month. But the other 11 months of the year are spent hurting. And so I want to challenge you in this sermon to think about how you can serve someone you know, one of your neighbors, maybe someone who's sitting next to you right now today, someone who's in need. Because unfortunately today, we don't have to go far to find someone in need. There was a time in this church, there was a time in this community when you had to go far to find someone in need, but that's no longer the case. So look with me at what the Bible tells us in Micah 6, verse 8. He has told you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. And we pointed out the past several weeks that notice that each of those are actions, that our faith, our verbiage, our testimony is to lead us to an obedience that is an action. Now, how do we do that? What does that look like in serving the needs of those who have them? Well, Jesus is our model for service. And Jesus tells us that He did not come to be served, but to serve and to make Himself a ransom for many. And we're supposed to follow that example. But the greatest example He gives us is in John chapter 13. And I want you to look at this with me. John chapter 13, Jesus teaches us what we're to do. Now, I've got some blanks I need to fill in for you on your listing sheet there. Service is the means for advancing Jesus' kingdom. Service is the means. It's how you do it. You see somebody in need, James says, you're not supposed to say to them, well, be filled and walk on by. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan? We're not supposed to be like the Levite. We're supposed to be like the Samaritan. And we're supposed to help them be filled by fixing them something to eat. How do we do that? Well, servants see the needs of people and set out to meet those needs. You got to see their need. Are you one of those people? Now, let's be honest. If you have a child, you're going to get this. If you are a child, you're not going to like it. So, truth and evidence. Have you ever sent your child to their room to get their belt? If you have a young boy and he has a belt, and you send him to his room to get it, he will go into his room, and I believe he looks at the ceiling. Because it's the only place he can look and not see his belt. I don't see it. I don't have it. It's lost. Somebody got it. And if, you know, you have children, now if you're an only child, somebody got it doesn't work. But if you got a brother or sister, you can blame somebody. You might have got my belt. And you as the parent will walk into the room, and there's the belt. Well, I don't know how it got there. I looked everywhere. Here's your belt. If you're going to be a servant, you can't have that kind of vision. You've got to be looking for people's need. And if you begin to look for people to bless, if you begin to look for people who are hurting, you're not going to have a difficult time in seeing them and finding them. So I want to challenge you to start looking. Look for needs. Servants will see the needs of people and then set out to meet those needs. Servanthood requires that I submit my will to God and obey His will for my life. Now, I've got to want to meet your needs. I've got to be willing to say, okay, Lord, I'll give what I've got to help somebody else instead of spending it on myself. And there's the problem. You and I like getting things for ourselves, do we not? Getting things for our children. Grandparents like getting things for their grandchildren. And somewhere along the line, someone in America needs to stand up and say, enough! Everybody's got enough stuff. Let's help folks who don't have something to eat. Let's help folks who need some heat. Let's help people who need to pay the rent. That's important too. Jesus emphasized the servant role to His disciples, and that's what we want to talk about today as we do the Lord's Supper. The context of this chapter 13 of the book of John is the Lord's Supper, and we're going to have it together here in a moment. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. And Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under His power, and that He had come from God and was returning to God. So He got up from the meal, took off His outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around His waist. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash His disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around Him. He came to Simon Peter and said to him, Lord, are You going to wash My feet? And Jesus replied, You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you'll understand. No, said Peter, You shall never wash My feet. And Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with Me. Then Lord Simon Peter replied, not just My feet, but My hands and My head as well. And now skipping to verse 12. When He had finished washing their feet, He put on His clothes and returned to His place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call Me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who has sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. You will be blessed if you do them. Jesus is saying to us there is a different role in the kingdom, a different way in the kingdom, a different lifestyle in the kingdom than what you know in the world. In Mark chapter 10, He tells us, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. There's a different organizational chart in the kingdom than there is in the company or in the corporation or in the military or in the wherever. In the kingdom, it's different. So how does it look? What does this thing look like in the kingdom? Well, I call it the ministry of the towel. The towel, T-O-W-E-L. Do you like to wash people's feet? Do you walk around washing people's feet? Maybe you're one of those ladies who goes to get the pedicure. And there are those ladies on their hands and knees there. And they're working on people's feet. In our society, and I think in any society, those who work on other people's feet are viewed with a low estate. They're looked down upon. I mean, just the geography of it. You're sitting here in the chair, and have you ever been in one of those little things? My wife drugged me into one of them once. You know, you got this row of women sitting in these chairs. They kind of look like big old lazy boys. And you got these other ladies around, and they're moving around, and they're working on folks very quickly. The folks who are working are working. And the folks who are sitting are being pampered. It is impossible to mistake what's happening here. Someone is getting a service, and others are providing a service. And it is unmistakable who's who. And you and I read this over and over and over, and we hear this story over and over and over, yet we continue to miss it. The church is supposed to be different. Service in the church is different. The organizational structure in the church is different. It's turned upside down. If you will be great in the kingdom of God, you must be not just servant of all, but the text said slave, doulos, slave of all. We all know slavery is bad. Our heritage as Southerners, it has a particularly pungent odor in our nostrils because of our heritage. Slavery's terrible. Yet Jesus says, if you're going to be great in the kingdom, you've got to be slave to everyone. Do you hear that? There is no exception where we say, but he doesn't deserve it. He's lazy. We're supposed to meet needs. Now, the Scripture does say in another place, if he will not work, neither shall he eat. But I think too often we're about giving exclusions, exceptions to the rule, rather than opening our heart and doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. If it was your light bill that needed to be paid, would you want someone to be merciful? If it was your mortgage payment that needed to be paid, how would you want someone to treat you? Then treat others that way. Now notice some lessons from this ministry of the towel. Jesus served his disciples each the same, including Judas. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. Now Jesus could do this. He can serve Judas because he knows his position, his power, and his purpose. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. That's his power. And that he had come from God. Okay, that was his position, and he was returning to God. That was his purpose. And he's able to do it anyway. I believe that if I know my position, my power, and my purpose, I can serve others also. And that if I don't know my position, my power, and my purpose, I won't. What is my position? I am a slave who has been saved, who has been bought by a good master. That's my position. What is my power? All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. And I am to be his witness after the power of the Holy Spirit has come upon me. That's my power. And what's my purpose? Go ye therefore to all nations. baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all things that I've commanded you, even to the end of the age. If I know my position, my power, and my purpose, then I won't mind serving. And I will wash feet. Now, I know y'all have trouble washing feet because every Monday, Thursday, we have that service, and a lot of y'all stay home. Won't nobody mess with my feet. Get over your bad self. Let God have His way. You just might get a blessing. And in fact, I know you will. Next. Notice what Jesus does to their feet. And I want you to think about their feet a moment. You ever walk around barefooted? Some of us who grew up in the country, you took your shoes off in May when school was out, and you put them back on in August or September when school started. And I used to love to get to spend the night with my grandmother because she wouldn't make me take a bath. She would only make me wash my feet. And man, that was a blessing. All I had to do was wash my feet. That was a deal I was willing to make as a young boy. So imagine their feet. Don't you think they were dirty feet? They probably needed to have their feet washed. And notice that the same thing Jesus is doing for their feet, He's going to do for their heart. Got dirty feet? As sinners, they had dirty hearts. He washes their feet. He's on His way to Calvary to wash their hearts. If you go barefoot through the summer, you also, from time to time, would get what I call a stone bruise. Oh man, it would hurt. Well, their feet probably were bruised too. And once more, what Jesus is going to do for their feet, He's going to also do for their heart. Some of you sit here today and your heart has been bruised. Somebody has said something or done something and it's hurt you. It's bruised you. And you need to allow God the Holy Spirit today to heal your bruised heart. He will. He can. But you've got to ask. And I imagine they had tired feet also. They'd been following this man for 3 years. They were probably tired. And here now He's gone crazy, started talking about dying on the cross and other weird stuff, and now He's washing their feet, and they thought He was their rabbi. No other rabbi is going around washing His disciples' feet. What's wrong with this man? Have we bet on the wrong horse? They've got to be thinking that. And Judas did, because he's ready to cash out. Tired feet. It's easy for you and I to get weary in well-doing, particularly this time of year. My wife, I don't know how much chocolate she's bought. I feel like I should have a share in Hershey's. She's been doing stuff at the house. She has been working me crazy because I get tired watching her work. She's been in school, teaching school, making stuff. And it's easy for a lot of you ladies in particular this time of year to just, you know, kill yourselves trying to do for everybody. And you strain your day, you strain your time, sometimes you strain your relationships, and you strain your budget. And nobody appreciates you. And it's real easy for the devil to come sit down and y'all have a pity party together. And you're just tired. You're sick and tired of being sick and tired. Right? Well, you need to let the Lord today do for your heart what He did for their feet. Give it a nice, cool, refreshing bath. Jesus taught us that in serving Him, no task is too demeaning. Some of you have a problem with this. You say, I can't work in the nursery. Let me tell you something. Somebody changed your diaper when you were little, Nothing wrong with you changing somebody else's diaper. The whole point of doing that is so mom and daddy can be in the service hearing the Word of God. And now I tell you, I'll agree with you. I think Linda Mull, and for those of you who are our guests, you don't know Linda Mull. She's our preschool director. She loves babies. She loves preschoolers. She has a passion for them. And she has such a passion for them that sometimes I think she's nuts. It's not my passion, but it's hers, and it's a godly passion, there's no doubt. But even though she has that passion, others of us can come alongside and help. And there's nothing demeaning about serving our Lord. He says, I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. We are to serve one another just as Jesus served the disciples. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. We need to be reminded of our true position in the kingdom. We're not on the throne. We're worshiping the one on the throne. We're to be serving the one on the throne. And he tells us the way we serve him is by serving each other. This is one of those times of the years when you can serve a lot of folks. There are a lot of people in need. And I want to thank you. 30 Christmas angels were provided Christmas out there on that tree by you. Thank you. Many more families through Sunday school classes have had their needs met this Christmas. Thank you. Yesterday, our deacons led our church in going out and taking fruit baskets out throughout the community. Once more, I say thank you. My door got knocked on by a beautiful little girl. Unfortunately, her not-so-beautiful daddy was with her. But Mara came and brought me a fruit basket. And that's good. We should be doing that. That's wonderful that we're doing that. But that's one Saturday a year. What are we doing the other 51? How can we help? How can we minister? Think about that. Now that you know these things, he says you'll be blessed if you do them. And that's where we want to stop today and think as we prepare for the Lord's Supper. Are we doing them? Notice, please, this is important. Blessing follows obedience, not knowledge. Blessing follows obedience, not knowledge. You got to know it and then do it, not just know it. And some of us sit here today and we're guilty of knowing and not doing. And we need to change that. And it's important that we change it because we each need to recognize our primary and our secondary ministry of the church. And we talk about this in our Shape Sundays and different things, but everybody here is gifted to do something. I mentioned Linda's gifted from preschool. She loves that. That's her passion. Everybody else has different gifts, and that's your primary area where you serve, okay? But everybody is to also serve in their secondary area, which is wherever they can make a general contribution. So if you see somebody that's got a dirty diaper, you see trash in the parking lot. I've actually heard people do this, you know. John be out there and somebody come, hey, there's some trash out in the parking lot. Why don't you pick it up? Don't come tell John to pick it up. Man. You know? Wherever you can make a general contribution, make it. Because in the final analysis, the beginning of biblical leadership is the willingness to go anywhere and do anything for fellow believers. Serving. That's the beginning of leadership. If you want to be big in the kingdom, the beginning of leadership is the willingness to serve somebody else. And Jesus says that in the final analysis, the genuineness of one's faith is going to be determined by one's service. By the genuineness of one's service. And I want to close today by reading this passage to you. You've read it. You've heard it. But think about it. This is Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 and following. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right, but the goats on His left. And then the King will say to those on His right, come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Do you hear that? Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Notice that fire wasn't prepared for them, but they go there. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? And then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it unto me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now, as we prepare to have the Lord's Supper today, I want you to think about your service. Do you know what's right and disobey? Or do you know what's right and obey? Every one of us has room for improvement. And we want to enter this time of the Lord's Supper freshly confessed. Because none of us are righteous. And we could give everything we own to the poor and not be able to buy or earn our salvation. It's not just about serving. It's first about knowing. You got to know Him, then obey Him. If you're here today, regardless of where your church membership resides, if you know Him as Savior and Lord, then the Lord's Supper is for you. If you're here today and you don't know Him, then you need to refrain from partaking of the Lord's Supper. Because the Bible says to eat and drink the Lord's Supper is to eat and drink judgment upon oneself if you do so in an unworthy manner. And the only unworthy manner to do it is to do it without knowledge of Christ as Savior. But for all the rest of us, we want to enter this time freshly confessed. And so I'm going to ask you, if you will, right now, bow your hearts with me. And just where you sit, let God, the Holy Spirit, convict you of your sin. And any sin that He convicts you of, confess it freely and openly to Him and prepare your heart for the Lord's Supper we're going to take in just a moment. Right where you are, make your own confession. Father, we want to lead everybody who's here today in a confession of their sin. You have promised that if we confess our sin, that You are faithful and just to forgive us our sin. And so, Holy Spirit, we pray that every person here would be able to do that right now. And we ask that You would convict us of our sin, that we might be able to remember it, so that we can confess it, so that we can enter this time freshly confessed, having our hearts washed afresh, a clean, anew, by You. And Father, we pray that each of us could be better servants, more faithful in the ministry of the towel, to be washing the feet of our brothers and sisters, literally, figuratively, in any way that we can serve. And help us to not stop there, but help us, Father, to be like the Good Samaritan and to broadly define who is our neighbor and to go wherever we see a need. And give us eyes to see those needs and a heart to care to meet them. And when you do this, we'll give you praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.